Well, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're going to be in Numbers chapter 22. We've been in this chapter for the past 2 weeks. And in Numbers chapter 2, it speaks of a man, a prophet of the Lord named Balaam. And last week we looked at Balaam, just the beginning of this story, and we're going to continue on in the story. Let me recap what's happened in this story so far for those of you who haven't been with us. Like I said, Balaam was a prophet of the Lord, but not a person of the Israelites, not a person from the people of God. He was from another nation, which is somewhat unique in the scriptures. But there was a king, Balak, who saw that the people of God were coming to the promised land, and Balak lived in the area of the promised land. And he saw that the Israelites had been favored by God and had been having military success as they'd approached the promised land. Numbers chapter 22. Yep. That's fine. He saw and he feared what the Israelites were going to do to him and to his people. He had seen that he had destroyed those who had conquered his own people before, and he knew that they were a strong people because the Lord was with them. Now Balak, this king, he had heard about Balaam, the prophet, that when the prophet spoke, when he blessed people, they were blessed and they had success. And when he cursed people, they would lose and have bad things happen to them. So Balak went to this prophet and he said, I want you to go and I want you to curse these Israelites, these people who are out in the wilderness, who are approaching this land that they say is going to one day be theirs. I want you to curse these people. And Balaam, he at first he gets this report from this king, and he goes to the Lord and he prays to the Lord for this night, this whole evening, and he says, Lord, what would you have me do? Should I go with these men and should I curse these people? And the Lord says to him, I do not want you to go. I do not want you to curse these people because these people are my precious people who I have called to declare my glory throughout this land. Now, Balaam, again, these men come to Balaam and they come to him a second time. And they come with promises of more rewards, more money, more riches. And they say to him, Balaam, I want you to come and I want you to curse these people. And Balaam, seemingly forgetting what the Lord had already told him, that he did not want him to go and he did not want him to curse these people, went to the Lord a second time and said, Lord, I really want to go. Let me go. And the Lord said, go. If this is what your heart's desire is, go. But whatever you do, if you go with these men, do not curse these people whom I love and care for. And then we come to our passage in verse 21. Numbers 22, verse 21. It says, so Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. Let me just stop real quick because I had forgotten to say something very important about the intentions of Balaam's heart. See, Balaam, he had a choice to make between following Balak and receiving the treasures that Balak, the king, had to offer him, money, or to follow the Lord and to receive the treasures which the Lord has for him and for all people who are obedient to him. He could either choose one or the other. He could not have both. And here, he chooses in his heart to look for the treasures which this world has to offer rather than the treasures that the Lord has to offer. And here in verse 22, but God was angry because he was going, and an angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. This passage, I didn't intend for it. I knew last week that we were going to look at this. It's a providential passage for Halloween. A donkey, an angel of the Lord standing in the midst of the path, blocking the way. But Balaam is a prophet. We talked about him being crazy. He was mad because he chose the treasures of this world over the treasures which the Lord had for him, and he knew what the treasures of the Lord were. He's a nonsensical prophet. But he's a very blind prophet. A blind prophet. He's going down this road, and an angel of the Lord is standing in front of him. But he does not see this angel. In fact, we read in this text that it's always three times the donkey who sees an angel of the Lord standing in front of him. Now, if you look through Scripture and you see how people react to angels, you know that they're very fearsome. I see lots of statues now for Halloween or goblins and ghosts that look very scary if you look at them. I went into a haunted house with my daughter at her school a few weeks ago. And there were scary things, people coming in scary costumes that were a little bit frightening. Not very frightening, because we all know what we're expecting in a haunted house, but just slightly frightening, right? But when Mary, the mother of Jesus, encounters an angel of the Lord, what does it say? She's afraid. If you read in the prophet Ezekiel, and it begins to describe these angels, that they have some of them, and I don't know all my angels. There's different angels for different things, but there's angels with four faces and four different wings, and they're huge and scary, and they have fire coming out of their mouths. I don't know what this angel was before Balaam, but he was a blind prophet. The first time he's taken off by his donkey into a field away from the road, and he gets very angry because he knows he wants to go down that road and he wants to go and receive his treasure. A second time, this donkey, what does it say? He pushes him against the wall. He smashes his foot against the wall because he's afraid. He sees this angel. This donkey sees this angel, and she's afraid. She's afraid of this angel. But Balaam does not see this angel. So he hits her with a stick. And again, the donkey stops in the middle of the road and lays down underneath Balaam and won't go any further because she sees this angel, this fearsome angel, in the way. But Balaam does not see it. Have you ever in your life been on a way, a journey? And I'm speaking metaphorically here. Have you ever been on a path in your life towards something that's not good? And you found yourself off in the field, not on the route that you were going, not on the route that you intended. Did you ever stop to think, perhaps the Lord has a message for me here? Perhaps the Lord wants you to turn around and go a different way because the way that you are going is not a good way. I think we've all been on this path, a way that's away from what the Lord has for us. See, Balaam, in his heart, his deceptive heart, his deceitful heart. He was saying that I will go and I will not say anything against these people, but he continues to go. And the Lord knows that in his heart, he desires to say these words against the people of God, and he wants to receive these riches. He doesn't see. It's the donkey, the jackass that sees, the angel. It's the donkey that sees the message that the Lord has for the people. And in verse 28, we read a little bit more about this donkey. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Then Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I not been accustomed to do so to you?" And Balaam said, "No." Now there's two very astonishing things in this passage. The very first is that the Lord opens the mouth of a donkey to speak. It's an amazing thing. It's a miracle, really. It's something that doesn't happen. In fact, how many of you have heard an animal speak? We've heard parrots speak, right? But they're just mimicking. They really don't know what they're saying. But donkeys, they don't talk. It's a miracle. And as we begin to see in this story, and we'll see next week, that the Lord opens up this donkey's mouth to speak the words of God, just like he's going to use Balaam, this prophet who has gone away from the way of the Lord. And he's going to use this prophet to speak miraculous words into the mouth of this prophet. Words of wonder, words that even speak of Jesus, thousands of years before Jesus comes onto this earth. The Lord uses the unbelievable for us to believe. But the second astonishing thing is how Balaam reacts to this. Balaam immediately begins to have a conversation with his donkey. Yeah, he doesn't even think, "What?" He doesn't even stop and say, this is not a donkey talking. He starts having a conversation with him. You know, with my 6-year-old daughter, ever so often I get into this argument with her. It's normally over something just silly and ridiculous, but it becomes this passionate argument about whether Barbie had a pink dress or a blue dress, and she's insisting that it's pink and I'm insisting that it's blue, and then I come to my senses and I say, "Wait a minute, I'm not going to have an argument with a 6-year-old. This is ridiculous."
Guess what, you've lost anyway.
I know, I'm wasting my time, and she's saying the same thing. Why am I having an argument with
an
adult?
Let it go.
But Balaam's eyes could not see. He was blinded by his desire for riches. He was blinded by his lusts to see what the Lord had for him. Sometimes we're blinded too by our lusts, by our passions which drive us away from the clear message that the Lord has for us. Verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of this blind prophet Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would surely have killed you just now and let her live." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back. But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but you shall speak only the word which I tell you. So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak. Balaam had this astonishing blindness. He could not see this angel. But when his eyes are open, he begins to see an astonishing grace of the Lord. A way that the Lord had protected him from doing himself in. I spoke of perhaps you being on a journey and getting taken away from that journey. You find yourself in a field, or you find yourself stuck in life and you can't get anywhere in life because you're going on a journey that's opposite the way of what the Lord has for you. And I asked you, have you looked for the message of the Lord for you? Have you asked, why is it that the Lord is stopping you? Oftentimes, and we don't always get to see these things, but oftentimes after the fact, after we're frustrated and angry and we hit our donkeys, right? We get angry because our cars break down or things happen in our lives. But afterwards, we get to see how the Lord has been protecting us from ourselves. About how if we had continued on the path on which we would have killed ourselves. Life is fragile, right? Today I was on a ladder thinking about how life is fragile. I had a chainsaw in my hand cutting a limb that could have landed on me. Life is fragile. But the Lord protected me. How many times have you gotten in your car and you get stuck in traffic and then you go down the road and if you had been on time as you thought you should have been, you see an accident. Do you ever wonder, was it the Lord who has protected you? The Lord protects you every time that you go out and do something and you aren't killed. It's a miracle of God's grace that He protects us. This angel is fighting against this prophet, Balaam, because his way is contrary to the way of the Lord. If our way is contrary to the way of the Lord, we are His enemies and He is going to resist us and fight us. It's for our good and for our protection that He's fighting us. But we must repent and turn. We must turn towards His way, not the way of Balaam, or the way of Scott, or the way of Michael, or JT. JT, right? We must go the way of the Lord. And then in verse 36, we get to our last section for this evening. When Balak, that king who had summoned Balaam, when he heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the Arnon border at the extreme end of the border. Then Balak said to Balaam, didn't I urgently send you to call you? Why did you not come to me? Am I really unable to honor you? Just for a second, Balaam is getting his riches ears perked again. He's hearing about riches and honor again. He's getting excited again. He's already forgotten about what the angel has said to him. The fear that he had in his heart with this angel. So Balaam said to Balak, behold, I have come to you now. Am I able to speak anything at all? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I shall speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzath. Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent some to Balaam and the leaders who were with him. Then it came about in the morning that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. And he saw from there a portion of the people. Now we're going to begin to see in this story how Balaam says with his mouth one thing, but with his feet he's doing completely opposite of what he should be doing. He's a divided soul. He's a soul who's saying one thing, the good things. He's saying everything that you would want to hear. I hear many things that I want to hear from people here at this place. I hear all the time, I'm not going back to my drinking or to my drugs. I'm not going back to my life of sex. I'm on the straight and narrow now. I'll never go back. But they're divided in their soul, many of them. I pray and hope for the strength for each of you men to walk in the ways of righteousness, not in the way of Balaam. Not in your own way, but the way of the Lord. And in Balaam, we find a man whose soul is divided. And we see that Balak takes him to his gods. And he says, let me show you what my gods do and worship with my gods. And it's from this place, the high place of Baal, that Balaam begins to see for the first time a glimpse of the people that he's been called on to curse. We'll see that Balaam begins to entangle himself with these people and these different gods and is very divided on who he wants to serve. Will he serve the ways of the Lord? Or will he serve the ways of Baal? Now, Baal is this god who's the god of sex in this culture. So when you go to this temple, there's sex all over the place. He's the god of fertility, so you celebrate the fact that there's grains in your land. So riches and sex, this is his dream here. He's excited about this, and he's going to lead the people of God into some of these excesses and these sins, all because his heart was divided. The Lord is looking for men whose hearts are fully and completely towards him, that he might strongly support them. But most of us are divided. Are you divided? Is your heart set on the one hand towards the Lord and on the other towards your passions and your lusts? Singleness of soul towards the Lord is what we're called to. You have been commissioned not by the king of Balak. You have been commissioned by the Lord to serve him with all that you do, all that you say, all that you think, all that you pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would protect our hearts from this way, the way of Balaam. The way that speaks all things that sound good, Lord, but does things that don't follow in line with that. Even so, Lord, we are sinners, and we humbly come to you asking for your grace, for your strength, for your power, and that even as we fail, Lord, that you might be able to use us and use us mightily, Lord, for your glory and for your honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord be with you.